Well, now that there's finally some snow on the ground, it's starting to feel like January, and that means it's time to get outside and enjoy all your favorite winter activities, and that's exactly what producer April Van Buren did at Fenner Nature Center in Lansing yesterday. I noticed you ducked out for a while
yesterday. Yeah, I took a little mid-afternoon vacation.
I guess so, a little perk up. What'd you do at Fenner?
I actually went snowshoeing for the first time. So Fenner is going to be doing these lantern-guided snowshoe hikes every couple of weeks this winter, starting next Friday. So I stopped by to get a little preview and talk to program manager Jenny Minch about some of the wildlife that visitors might see. And so Jenny started me off with some snowshoe 101.
All right, so for our snowshoes, we have a couple of different parts that you want to know about when you're using them. This big part all around it, on ours it's red, on other ones it can be made of plastic or made of maybe type of plasticized canvas or leather. It's called the decking, and that's what helps you sort of float on top of the snow so you don't sink in. It spreads your weight evenly across the surface. The next part to know is the binding, so they're the straps that hold your feet in and attach you to your snowshoe. We have the pivot point up here under the toe. It allows your foot to step up and down and not be fully attached to the decking while you're walking. Underneath the toe, we have the crampons, which are two just big metal spikes. And so those will kind of grip down into the snow, grip down into the ice, and make sure that we don't slip and slide our way, because there's nothing worse than having two gigantic sleds on your feet and sliding down an icy hill.
All right, well, I am going to try and put mine on. I may ask for your assistance.
Of course.
Now let's see, we've got, is there a right and a left one here?
Yeah, so the straps face towards the
Okay,
outside.
That's right. Okay, well let's give this a shot.
All right, so you just stand up and then you just walk.
And I stepped right out of that one. All right, I'll try this again. The left one was going so well. Take three. And so tell me a little bit about the trails we'll be walking on.
Sure. Well, we'll be walking on what's called our Tamarack Trail. That's one of the farthest loops to the south side of our park. It takes us close to our sugar maple grove, where we harvest sap for maple syrup in the springtime. It'll take us through some pine trees. And one of the things I really like about this trail is because it's farther away, it's a little less traveled, and we tend to see a little bit more wildlife back there. They feel a little more comfortable, feel a little more secure since they see less traffic.
These take a little bit of getting used to.
They do.
Interesting sensation.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. Usually we snowshoe when there's more snow on the ground. Usually 4 to 8 inches would be a good minimum. But since we have a good ice coat under this powdery snow on top, the crampons do have something to dig into and help us keep from slipping at least.
And so is this the sugar maple grove we're in now?
It is. All the trees you see around you are sugar maple trees. Most of them are either quite large or very, very small, which is unusual, but it indicates that this is not a very it's not a very managed maple grove. We don't cut down the trees and selectively decide which trees will grow and which trees won't.
Can you talk to me about some of the wildlife that you might see out here in winter? I mean, when you think of hiking for wildlife, you think of going in the summer and mm-hmm. seeing all of the insects flying about and the bunny rabbits with their little babies out. But what can you see in winter?
Sure. Well, in winter, animals kind of have three options. They can go on vacation, they can sleep, or they can tough it out. And a surprising number of the animals here, I found, actually do just stay and kind of tough it out during the winter time. Here at Fenner, no matter what season, but even during winter, we see lots of deer, and turkeys especially are very common to see. We see lots of birds around our bird feeder that don't migrate. We see cardinals in particular, or tufted titmice, which are sort of small, bluish-gray little creatures, and they do have that crest on their head, kind of like the cardinal does as well. Like I mentioned earlier, we have fox here in the Nature Center, and you're not likely to see the fox, but you are likely to see signs of it being out here. Squirrels are quite common. Chipmunks, squirrels' smaller friends, are actually sleeping right now. They're burrowed under the ground. So what we really see here are some of the, I guess, the bigger animals and the animals who are more well adapted to survive in the cold.
So which animals are already packed away for the winter?
Well, there's actually two big categories for that, reptiles and amphibians. Those guys are not out in winter at all. Unlike mammals and birds, they are cold-blooded, which means that they rely on the sun, they rely on the ambient air temperature to stay warm and to have enough energy to run their metabolism. So right now, they are all hibernating. Snakes in particular, they sort of find all the other snakes in the area and den up together in this crazy writhing snake ball called a hibernacula. Frogs and toads are actually buried underground, either in mud for toads here in the forest or in the muds of the ponds.
So for the animals that do stay above ground, what are the food options?
They are quite limited. Deer right now are kind of just browsing around. Anything that they can see, anything that looks kind of edible, if there's any sort of green sticks left over, you know, wood that's not quite dried up yet, they're nibbling that right now. Turkeys are looking around for any kind of seeds or husks. Some of the dry grasses that are left standing have seeds that the turkeys can sort of forage. And then a lot of the animals that are still up are predators, animals that eat other animals. With the fox, we notice that its scat actually changes in the wintertime. In the summer, fox scat typically has lots of little berry seeds and fruits in it. And in the wintertime, fox scat is pretty dry looking. It's kind of hairy and full of bones.
Interesting. So they switch to kind of the hearty meat-based diet too.
They sure do, yeah.
Jenny Minch is the program manager at Finner Nature Center. We are out here snowshoeing around some of their trails and learning about some of the winter wildlife we have out here. So for animals, some of them are hibernating, some of them are sort of scavenging, getting what they can from the landscape. But what about plants? What does winter mean in the plant life cycle?
Sure. For plants, winter means dormancy as well. It means sleeping or hibernating, just like many animals are doing too. For many plants, many of the smaller type plants, dormancy comes in the forms of those seeds that they make in late summer or fall. And so those seeds are now resting, nestled underground, just waiting for the sun. They're waiting for the rain, and they've got all that stored energy, and they're ready to grow as soon as the temperatures are right. For bigger plants like our trees, especially like our sugar maples here where we're standing, they store their sap, they store the food, the energy they've made throughout the year down in their roots. And so their roots are dormant. They're not really doing anything. They're obviously not producing leaves right now, but that sap will start to flow upwards in the trunk and start to come back up into the branches and start to help produce more leaves in the early spring when we start to have changes in temperature, when it's warmer during the day and colder during the nighttime.
So why do they send that sap down to the roots during the winter?
Well, imagine putting a water bottle in your freezer. That water bottle is full of water. The water will expand as it freezes, and it will eventually snap or explode the water bottle. And so if that sap was still stored in the tree trunk here, when we get well below freezing, when we get to 14 degrees like we are today, that water could expand and expand and actually destroy the trunk of that tree. And so when the sap is down below the surface of the earth, the ground serves as an insulating layer and makes sure that that sap doesn't get cold enough to freeze and really expand enough to damage the tree.
So I'm wondering if you have any tips for people on winter wildlife viewing, the best times to go out and look for animals, or, you know, the best places. Should you be in a wooded area or in an open field? What are your expert tips for finding some cool winter wildlife around here?
Well, I have a really good one, actually. In winter, most animals you're not going to find out in an open field. You're going to find them in a conifer stand or a pine stand where you have those trees that still have those green needles on them. And that's for a couple of reasons. Number one, the trunks, the trees in that forested area will break the wind and provide some protection from that wind. The leaves, the needles that are still on the trees, actually provide some thermal insulation from up top. So they make sure that it doesn't get as cold in that area as it does in a more open area without those leaves and without that protection. And then because, again, of those needles and leaves as well, the snow doesn't build up quite as much in a pine stand as it does in a place like here in our maple grove where we have no leaves to protect the ground.
And so tell me a little bit about the hikes you guys are putting on all throughout this winter, I think. You've got a few different ones coming up.
Yeah, we have we're doing some snowshoe hikes this winter, about every other week. And we're actually going in the evening. We're going from 6 to 8 p.m. And so you asked earlier what was one of my favorite times. That is one of my favorite times to go. At dusk or at sundown is a really great time to view animals. Many animals are crepuscular, which means active at the dawn or dusk times of day. And so that's when you'll see most of those animals kind of scurrying about. And it's just a really special time. I find that as it starts to get a little bit darker, you become more aware of what's around you because you have to work a little bit harder to walk. You can't just blow right past. You have to actually think about what you're doing and what you're seeing.
Jenny Minch is the program manager for Finner Nature Center. We're out here on their trails doing some snowshoeing and looking for some winter wildlife. Thank you so much for taking me on this little afternoon adventure, Jenny.
You're welcome.
For Current State, this is April Van Buren. All right, now we'll go see if we can find other cool stuff.